Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Industry Speaker Series brought to you by the Durham College Esports Arena. Once again, I am your host, Alex, and today we are joined by a very special guest. Everyone, please help me welcome George.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Very happy to have you. So kind of before we get started, I am going to remind everyone who is tuning in the chat. If you do have any questions for George, please drop them in the chat. We would love to get some questions for you answered. But before we get started and get those questions rolling, I just want to ask, how are you, George?
Doing well. You know, it's been a busy start to the year. You know, started a brand new job in January, so 2021 started off fun. You know, and it's been full swing since, right? Trying to make the most out of everything going on as well, right? So, you know, it's been a bit of a different year.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think, been a different year for everyone. But again, congrats on your new position and kind of starting off the year strong. I'm very excited to kind of be chatting with you. I've actually had the pleasure of trying with you on a different podcast that I've done for Riot Radio in the past. So I know just how much experience and insight you're going to be able to bring, not only with through our conversation, but hopefully within the chat and answering some of those questions for our viewers. So before we kind of get started, maybe if you just want to do a brief introduction for our viewers.
Yeah, certainly. So so I've been working in the industry entertainment slash sports slash gaming for quite a number of years now. I currently work at a company called GSL Group, which is a holdings company based off of the West Coast that's very much involved in several different pillars. So we're involved in sports. We own a junior hockey team. We own several different arenas in the West Coast. You know, where we rent out space to pro sports teams and various other things. We host festivals, concerts with some really big names who come to our cities and to our venues. We do a number of things in tech. We own a company called OfficePools.com, which is a fantasy sports site. We develop apps. We even develop things like condos, right? We develop malls. We develop a whole bunch of things. So the company is involved in various things. So it's very exciting for me being able to do multiple different things at once. And you know, I'm also working on developing an esports division there too. So that's in the works, and that's really exciting. But before that, my career has spanned about a decade now, working in the U.S. and working in Canada too. I've worked for multiple companies over the years, such as Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, where I was able to work in their digital labs team there, which consists of the team behind the esports division as well. So worked in the esports division there. Had a ton of fun. I worked in the U.S. for a couple of years, as I mentioned, for the NBA team also in Memphis. Got to launch the esports division there, which was a lot of fun. So it was the company's first kind of start within gaming. So that was really great. You know, within a 6 month span, I got to launch a esports team and their, G League team, which is their minor league team. So did a lot of really exciting and fun stuff there, and worked for multiple other companies within Canada within the sports realm, like the COC. So got to work for the Olympics, in 2012. Got to do a lot there. Worked for the national team with soccer, with the national team within skiing as well. So I've been very, very lucky to have some really cool experience that has allowed me to kind of see multiple parts of Canada, develop some major events, and launch several teams too. So it's been a pretty cool ride. During my spare time, I also teach at Durham College. So I've been part of some of the new staff that has launched, that launched this past fall. So I teach, I've taught a total of three courses in the last year, all around gaming, obviously. And it's been a ton of fun and super rewarding.
Yeah, just the amount of knowledge. I know, for a disclaimer, if you haven't tuned into any of the episodes before, I am actually a current student at Durham College in the eSport Business Management program. And I've been lucky enough to really get to know George over the two semesters and over the three courses he's actually taught. And just like, that's why when we are kind of planning this from our end, I'm like, the amount of insight and industry expertise that you would be able to provide, you're definitely one of the top people we kind of want to reach out to. And we're fortunate enough that you were available and willing to kind of join us. So again, we're just really happy to have you. Thank you again for that.
Yeah, definitely. I always tell people, having knowledge is great and all, but passing it on is key as well, right? People opened a lot of doors for me. People took the time during the early stages of my career, and I moved around a lot. I lived in New York City for a bit. I lived in Memphis. There was always people in each one of those cities willing to take the time to pass on knowledge to me too. So doing this type of thing is also a treat for me.
Oh, I really do appreciate it. So I just want to go back quickly to something that you mentioned. I know that you mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies. So for people who are unfamiliar and like may know the Grizzlies or, that they're attached to the NBA, which is basketball. So how's the NBA tied into gaming, or where is that connection? Just in case there are some viewers who are maybe unfamiliar.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2017, the NBA announced that they were going to launch their first gaming league. So it's called the NBA 2K League. And obviously, it's attached to one of the most popular sporting games in the world. So they decided to launch what is now the fourth professional league. So there's the NBA, the WNBA, and then the G League. And then they launched the first gaming league. So currently there's 23 teams in that league. The first season they only had 7 teams, so there's been a lot of growth there as other teams have gotten really, really excited and taken the time to understand gaming and to see what kind of potential there is behind gaming too. Memphis was one of those first teams in that first season. And they kind of got in touch with me to help them launch that. So, it's been really exciting. The NBA has always been one of those pro leagues that's first to the party, right? They're the ones who kind of break through and think of all these amazing things to do, right? So they're the ones that a lot of other leagues kind of look to see what they are doing, right? So they were the first ones who wanted to create a league like this. So for example, a team like Memphis had the ability to draft 6 players. So they play a 5-versus-5 game along with a bench player. Once drafted, those players move to the city, they get coached, they get a salary, they can earn a whole lot more money through tournament wins and through regular season finish too, right? So it's been something that has been growing a lot. They've seen a lot of sponsorship growth. They've seen a lot of fan growth. They've obviously seen a lot of teams growing too. And this is a league that's open to anybody, right? So, there's a minimum age, but there's no maximum age. So anybody within the adult age frame can also play, right? It's open to every single, gender too. So we have, for this season, the draft was a couple weekends ago. They drafted three women, which was really amazing to see. So there's still a lot of growth to be had there, but it was a massive breakthrough to see three women drafted, to that league as well. Whereas the high previously was in season one, which was a single woman, right? So they're entering season four, and they're up to three now. So it's steady growth, but it's still growth, and it's been really exciting to see players from Europe and Asia, join the league too. And of course, there's a ton of people from the U.S. and from Canada as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's really interesting. I know, obviously, we've had discussions during class and stuff like that about your experience and even kind of that mesh of, these organizations, whether small or big, especially like an organization as big as the NBA, right? Really seeing the potential and kind of not only the organization, but also the teams, right? Really seeing the potential. And they're like, hey, this could be signed, right? And like you were kind of mentioning, the gradual growth of not only the teams that are kind of making the investment within their space of having a counterpart to their traditional sports team, but also on the back end, all the sponsors and partners that they're actually able to connect. I know I'm seeing a few comments in the Twitch chat about shout out Raptors Uprising. I know you've done some work with them, if you want to maybe touch base on that as well.
Yeah, so I formally worked with them, while I was at, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. I was managing their business ops side, so that was really, really awesome, getting to develop something during season two of that league, developing a lot of stuff with our sponsors, developing, if anyone out there follows the team we had, and currently still have, a ton of wonderful sponsors, national sponsors. We've developed, something called the Bell Five House, which is where our gamers live, in a house sponsored by Bell, and it's become one of the best known gaming hubs and arguably the most well-known gaming hub within that league. So the house has become almost as famous as the actual players, just because of all of the content being shot out of there and all of the great videos that the team is still currently doing. So they have some of the best people there too in the business currently working, and they really have set the standard as far as the type of content the league wants to see, right? So Raptors do it really, really well. It's no shocker that that a team that does so well on the actual court is doing so well on the visual court as well, right? So, or the virtual court, sorry. But it was a really, really great time there, and the league is just growing so much, and it's so much fun seeing that and just seeing the growth of the players too, right? From season one, people were literally some of them had their first ever jobs. They didn't have media training. They were never put in front of a camera or in front of a mic. And to see some of the growth of those players from season one to and season two to where they are now, and the fine tuning that the league has done, behind that has been remarkable as well.
That's real. If you haven't checked out the NBA 2K League, especially the Raptors Uprising, definitely go on YouTube, check it out. I know we are actually talking this week in class that an activation I was actually jealous that you got to do with like that the Bell Five House and some of the WWE stars when they came to Toronto. I think, what was that, two, three years ago now, for one of their bigger events with SummerSlam.
Yeah, I believe that was 2019, right? So feels like 20 years ago now, right? Right.
Yeah.
It was such a different world, being able to go to Scotiabank Arena. We were invited by the WWE to go to Monday Night Raw the following day, and just being around people, 20,000 fans feels like it's odd now. But funny story about that, actually. So I had read online that the WWE wrestlers, there's multiple people on that roster who are massive gamers. They travel with their at the time what would have been their PS4s. They travel from city to city with it, and they game, and they actually have their own Austin Creed, who is a wrestler in the WWE, has his own channel as well that has millions of and millions of views. So I decided to kind of shoot my shot and tweet a bunch of them and just kind of show off the Bell 5 house and the awesome setup that we had there. And I knew they would be there for about a week in town. And I figured maybe on their off day, if we were lucky, maybe one of them would want to tweet back to us and just say, hey, I'd love to come down and maybe shoot something or just game, right? You know, I really wasn't expecting much. And then a couple of them started tweeting back at us. And then finally, one of their PR people got in touch with us. And we knew that they had a gaming channel called Up, Up, Down, 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 which is the one that Austin Creed is the host of and does an amazing job. And he said he would love to come down and just kind of shoot a couple, videos. And we said, yeah, by all means, that would be great. That's great content for them, great content for us, obviously. Getting our team and our sponsors, up on that channel and just having, tens of thousands of viewers, watching that, would be awesome, right? So there's a lesson for everybody, you really never know what you're going to get without trying, right? So that was an awesome experience as well.
Yeah, I was definitely jealous when I heard that story in class. So just a reminder for the viewers, if you do have any questions for George, please drop them in the chat. I will definitely make sure to get to them. But I think kind of our last discussion was a good segue for maybe if you want to touch base on, I know when people hear marketing and esports, they may not really see the connection, or they may kind of, their minds may go to like, oh, so do you mean like just ads, or like their mind may go to either it's not, they don't really see the connection to it, or they may just think like it's very linear. Obviously being someone like yourself, being someone who's had the experience and worked in the industry and really gone to see the back end as well as implementing some of these activations, maybe if you want to speak of how relevant marketing actually truly is with the esports industry.
Yeah, well, I think everything truly starts off with that, right? So marketing helps bring the awareness and the eyes to your product, right? So all marketing is essentially, to dumb it down, is the ability to promote and eventually sell a product or a service, right? So my job as somebody who works in marketing, as the head of marketing, where I work currently and in past roles and, where I've worked, is essentially to make a product or a team or whatever that is become more popular today than it was a day ago, right? So that's what you're really trying to do with marketing, and marketing is tied into everything. It's tied into revenue, it's tied into sales, it's tied into sponsorship. And obviously marketing has taken many, different forms. Now in 2021, marketing looks vastly different than it did back in the 90s, right? Now we use a whole lot more digital media. We use a whole lot more social media, right? So marketing has evolved tremendously. Every single esports team on this planet, the really good ones likely have really good marketing teams, right? Because that kind of goes hand in hand with becoming as popular as they are. Frankly, individual streamers will likely have their own marketing plan, right? You don't become as famous as some of these people are without having some kind of marketing knowledge, some kind of digital media and social media knowledge, right? So all of that goes, hand in hand in promoting yourself, right? So that's really where marketing comes into play, right? Without the right marketing strategy, it's really hard to kind of break through all of that clutter and bring the right eyes or the right audience to your product, right? So that's where marketing can really help whether it be a team or a group of people, such as a team, or just a single person streaming, right? Having the right marketing knowledge can go really, really, really far there.
100%. So I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit. What are some activations within, and it doesn't need to be esports, it could be, I know you've had a lot of experience within traditional sports as well, either maybe activations that you've been a part of or that you've seen within either industry that you're like, maybe an example of something that you felt was executed very well and was a very good marketing campaign. And if you want, maybe saying that, in your opinion, maybe you thought could be bigger or that you think may have been executed a little bit better that, again, you were a part of or that you've seen. And that's only if you're comfortable sharing that one.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, some of the ones that I've been really, really proud of, you know, going back to my Raptor days, obviously, we did so much around the Bell 5 house. So I kind of mentioned one, you know, all of the free marketing and PR, you know, that we got just by collaborating with the WWE was absolutely massive, right? But we also did a lot of stuff where we had some really big streamers, you know, coming through the Bell 5 house to shoot some of their own stuff there that we were really lucky. That kind of at times fell in our lap, right? So I used to produce a streaming show. It was kind of like a post-game show after every single one of our weeks there with somebody called Agent Zero. Agent Zero now on YouTube has well over a million followers, right? Or a million subs, sorry. And, you know, he was our host. And, you know, he wanted to kind of film a YouTube challenge in the Bell 5 house where, you know, he would invite some of the biggest 2K streamers. And I believe he put $10,000 on the line for the person who would game the longest. So you couldn't take breaks. You couldn't nap. You couldn't nap. And this is something that, you know, cost us nothing. And it was just because we had a relationship that was really, really strong with Agent Zero. And, you know, he wanted to film this. We had the right spot for it. And the video at the time, I don't know where it's at now, but at the time, it was either the second or third most viewed video on his channel. So think about all the free marketing that not only gave us, but gave our sponsors too, right? So all of that being filmed out of the Bell 5 house was absolutely massive, right? So again, so marketing is not just about planning and, you know, having a budget, you know, and spending money to bring your vision to life. But at times it's just about the relationship building that you're going to have, you know, throughout the years and being able to lean on people. And at times you'll create this kind of magic and bring it back to your sponsors, and they'll be absolutely thrilled with it, right? So Agent Zero, that video, again, cost us nothing. What we did with the WWE, again, cost us nothing. But those were two moments where we were able to kind of show off the great space that we had there, brought to you by Bell Canada, to a massive audience, and it didn't cost us anything, right? So we were, you know, very, 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 you know, lucky there. And I was proud of everything that we put out there with all of our sponsors, right? So we had a digital series called North Code. So it was a 6-episode season that they still do. And basically we hired a pair of brothers who would follow the team around throughout the season. At times they would travel with the team when there was actual traveling. And basically it was a behind the scenes look at the life of a gamer and you know, how a season took place. So we shot some really, really awesome episodes. There was one episode I'm particularly proud of. Our team captain, Kenny, who actually won MVP of the league last season. He's probably arguably the top player in the world now, at the very least top three, but I think he's absolutely the best. He is from Memphis, actually. So one of the episodes was the origin story of Kenny, where we sent our film crew down there to Memphis, and I ended up going, you know, with them because I was able to produce that and kind of bring it to life. And we basically shot Kenny's origin story, right? So, you know, how he grew up, and he really, you know, didn't have the best life growing up. You know, they were struggling. They were a struggling family. They didn't grow up with the most, and kind of gaming helped them get out of that, right? So, due to his earnings in gaming, he was able to buy his family house and kind of get them out of the house that they were living in, you know, during his youth, right? So, that was something I was extremely, extremely, extremely proud of, because it got to show the human side of the gamer and how gaming can really change somebody's life, right? So for him to be able to buy that house for himself, his mom, and his brother was a really heartwarming and touching story. And that series was a sponsored series. So, LG, you know, kind of stepped up, and they really liked the content that we were creating. And they've been the sponsor behind that series for the last three seasons now. So, it's that kind of stuff. When you can produce really good content, you're able to get it sponsored too, right?
100%. So I think you kind of mentioned it throughout while we were speaking, but so if someone had to kind of do an origin story of George Fidel, if I were someone in the chat, I'm like, okay, so like they know kind of who you are and what you do on a daily basis, but so where did this journey start for you? How did you just wake up one day and you're like, you know what, I want to do something with marketing, or you know what, I really like video games, and kind of whether that was kind of your original goal of maybe being somewhere related to video games, or you're more focused on marketing, and kind of how it all came together for you?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So my origin story is probably different than most. So I'm actually born in Cairo, moved to Canada at a very young age. I moved to Canada when I was 2 years old with my parents. I always grew up around sports and around gaming. So that was just kind of a natural fit for me. But I really did not at the time assume or think that there would be an avenue for me to work in either. So even though I played a ton of sports growing up at a very competitive level and I gamed a ton, hosting tournaments back in my teens and, you know, just playing with friends a ton. I ended up going to U of T. I was a political science major. Thought I might go into politics or the government or go into law, right? But then I started seeing a different avenue for me, and I was still very much involved in sports at that time. So I decided to do a postgraduate into journalism. And with a stream in sports journalism. And that kind of led me to my first job in sports. So I was working actually in PR and in digital media. At the time, digital media was very much, social media was very much in its beginning stages. So, they would lump in digital media either with PR or with marketing, right? Because it really did not have its own wing at that time, because it wasn't where it was at now. And so I worked in PR, communications, PR, and digital media for a number of years. And then in 2016, I kind of decided to take a leap of faith and apply to a master's program. And Columbia University, is a wonderful school in New York City. that has a sports management master's. So I ended up doing a Master of Science in Sports Management there in New York City at Columbia. And, you know, growing up, you know, I grew up with a very humble lifestyle, right? I was by no means spoiled or anything like that. So I never really imagined myself going to an Ivy League school or even being able to. But I took a bit of a leap of faith because I knew that would be a really great school to go in. I knew I wanted to work in the U.S. market. I really wanted to break through there, and I thought, you know, that would be the best way to do it. And by working in New York City, I would be able to shake a ton of hands and really meet a lot of people because all of our profs were working in the industry. And, you know, when I got there in 2016, esports was kind of the buzzword, right? So it was still lumped in with sports. You know, they were like, this is the next wave, right? You know, there's you know, X number of sports jobs out there. And I had been working in sports for years, but they were like, the next big boom is in gaming, right? So even though I knew or I considered myself to know quite a bit about gaming, there, you know, I really took the time to learn as much as possible and to pick the brain of students in my class who knew a lot more than me, including some Asian students who had come from China to study there as well, where gaming was absolutely massive there. So it was a great opportunity for me to pick their brain and to understand the industry over there and to understand, you know, the growth there and the possibilities that we might have here. And then basketball being my favorite sport, you know, I saw a job in Memphis. And what was amazing about this job is that it had three different pillars. So they wanted somebody to kind of manage the marketing side for three different business units. The first being their minor league team, so their, you know, G League team that they were going to launch. Another one being their concert division, which I was managing too. And then the third being their gaming division, which they were launching that same year. So for me, you know, being able to kind of merge those three things, especially basketball and gaming, never in my wildest dreams that I think that was feasible, right? To me, that was just like, you know, you're going to pay me to work around basketball and gaming. Right. You know, I was beyond excited to kind of take a leap of faith for a second time, you know, moving to New York City and then moving to Memphis, to a city that I had never visited before. I never really thought of visiting before. So that was really, really exciting just to be around that and to be part of the NBA and them launching a brand new league and me being able to work with our management staff and our coaching staff to scout players and draft players and to see people's dreams come true and become professional gamers for the first time ever was a really, really special moment, right? So, you know, when it was time to come back home to Canada, I was able to leverage that job with a job with the Raptors as well. You know, thanks to some wonderful people in Memphis who had put me in touch with the people here too at the Raptors. And that kind of just led to what I'm doing now. So now I'm managing, you know, a team full of marketers and, you know, really digital savvy people. And, you know, we've got a tech wing. So my experience in esports and in gaming really, really helps there. We have a sports wing. So my experience in sports, you know, really, really helps there. And then we have our division for concerts and festivals and music. So my experience, you know, has really, really helped there as well, right? So my origin story is not one that had a straight line. And I think that's the great thing about life is that you don't really know where it's going to lead you. I would have never imagined myself living in New York City or living in Memphis I'm forever grateful that I took those leaps of faith and that I decided to go and live in the U.S. for a little bit of time to gain this experience.
100%. And again, like every time I've heard this, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, obviously get to know you over the two semesters I've had you as a professor, and really you bringing those real world examples that you've had into the classroom and really getting that inside knowledge. It's just like still amazing. And to really hear these stories, and every time you bring up a new experience, like I mentioned with the WWE activation you were able to do, like, it's just the amount of knowledge and expertise you have, like, it's amazing. And for some reason, I don't know what the, like, a few of our guests, I think you're the second or third guest we've had, that were like, oh, like, you know, how do you get started in the industry? Always poli sci. I don't know what it is with political science, but, like, there's somehow an attachment with, like, everyone in this industry and political science. I don't know what it is.
I think that just goes to show you that your education at times doesn't necessarily have to connect with what you end up doing, right? And you know, if there's anybody watching this who's a lot younger, in their teens, in grade 11 and 12, it's very daunting to kind of figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life at that age, right? So, people change careers all the time. We end up figuring out what we like to do and what we're really, really good at later on in life, right? So,
100%.
And the possibilities grow too. So, working in gaming wasn't possible a decade ago, right? Working in sports was the opportunities were a lot smaller than they are now, right? So, my advice to people would be to try to meet as many people as possible, shake as many hands as possible when it's safe to do so, right? Experience different things, right? And you never know where that might lead to. As I mentioned, I didn't think I would be living in the U.S. I met my fiance in Memphis too, so she's probably watching this now and probably smiling because I, mentioned.
Shout out. Yep.
Hi there, Madison. So she's gonna like that actually, but it's just one of those things. You don't know where life is going to take you. So, do not be afraid to kind of take those leaps of faith, and don't be afraid to invest in yourself as well, right? So, as I mentioned, I finished my political science degree, but I entered journalism after that, and and then I did a master's, right? And I'm not saying you need to go to three schools or two schools or even one school. I'm just saying, try to gain as much knowledge as you possibly can, and that could come from various things. It could come from experience, from working. It could come from picking people's brains. It could come from reading, right? So there's no right or wrong way to do this, but it's all about evolving too, right? So picking up different skills.
Yeah, 100%. Knowledge is power. Invest in yourself. I know, even from a student perspective, like, completely on the same wavelength. I went right out of high school. I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Did a completely different related program of this. Didn't really pan out what I thought. Kind of pivoted to something else that I thought may interest. Worked in that field for a few years, and then now I'm in the eSport business management program, right? So even back then, right, like when I graduated high school, which now seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't that long, working, I've always really liked games, and there just wasn't that possibility, or at least not that I was aware of at the time. But now, like you've kind of mentioned, it's such a growing industry, and there's so many opportunities that, like, people wouldn't even expect, right? Like, again, some people may not connect what marketing has to do with esports, but like you've kind of laid out, there's so much behind the scenes, and there's so much work, and marketing isn't a linear thing. There's so much more to it than just ABC,
Well, that's it. And I mean, for esports and for gaming to take that next level, it needs to be treated like a business too, right? So, you know, you're in my business class, Alex, and you know, what is the one lesson that I've hammered home the longest for the most weeks is sponsorship, right? So everybody knows, like, sponsorship is such a massive element when it comes to traditional sports, but it's really what drives gaming as well, right? Because unlike traditional sports, currently esports, you know, does not host multiple events or games where you can have 20,000 fans, or like the NFL, you know, 70,000 fans within a stadium every single week, or, you know, multiple times a week like they do in the NBA and the NHL, right? So having 20,000 fans. So, you know, at the end of the day, esports is a business. It's a growing business that's generating, you know, billions. And it needs to be treated as such too, for, you know, for it to grow, right? So for more and more people to understand why we are passionate about this space, we need the right people to help it grow. We need the right marketing behind it. We need the right digital strategy and you know, social strategy, and we need the right people behind it too. You know, the right streamers and the right gamers who are doing their part. You know, the same way how professional athletes, basketball players and the hockey players of the olden times kind of helped develop and grow their own sports too, right? So, and all of that goes hand in hand when it comes to marketing as well.
100%. Just a reminder to our viewers, please get your questions in. Our time, unfortunately, is starting to come to an end with George, but he would love to answer any questions you have. Speaking of that, we did have one a little bit earlier that I want to get you to. What were some of your favorite games growing up, and what are some of your favorites now?
So that's a good question. So growing up and now are kind of very similar. So I think, you know, I've let on the fact that I'm a, you know, I love sports. So I grew up playing a lot of sports games. Right. So, you know, I was the kid who would get, you know, NHL, FIFA, Madden, NBA every single year for Christmas. Right. So I needed to get the brand new ones every single year. I needed to kind of grind those out and just become, you know, the best, you know, that I could possibly be at those games. So, I spent most of my days, you know, really just kind of becoming the best that I could at those games, and that's really, you know, how I am now too. So I really, really, really love the sports space when it comes to gaming. I know, you know, that might sound maybe lame to some, that I've just kind of like typecasted myself as a sports gamer, but you know, those are the ones that I guess am really just like attracted to the most, right? So I'm just gonna close these blinds here so I can see you better.
Hopefully, no problem. Take your time.
That's a lot better, I think. Almost.
Awesome.
There you go. That's better.
Sweet. Yeah, no, I don't think you're typing yourself or anything. Like, everyone just has their thing, right? I know a lot of my friends as well, very, very dedicated to the NBA 2K games. Very, super dedicated. And even when I was younger, not so much anymore. Like, I was kind of similar way of the olden Madden games and the older school kind of NHL games. Like, almost, you know, as a kid, can't, maybe not every year, but even every 2 years or whatever it is, like, whenever I kind of have that opportunity to kind of grab one, like, still kind of the same way, and like, I still kind of hop into them, but yeah, everyone kind of has their thing. As long as you're, that's why I like so much about gaming, right? There's so much variety, and at the end of the day, I think people don't really care that much about, you know, if you like something different than me, that's completely cool at the end of the day, right? Because there is overlap in some way between our games, even though they may be completely different when you first look at them, but the end of the day, as long as you're enjoying it, that's all that really matters.
Absolutely, right? And I grew up playing everything, right? Like, I grew up playing Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, and I really loved those games too. And anything Mario Brothers related was a personal favorite of mine. But, you know, there was just something about, playing sports games for me personally, whether that gave me the opportunity to be a general manager and make trades and draft players. Like, I always thought that was just like, that aspect always really ended up getting me hooked, right? So that career mode of gaming.
Yeah, 100%. So there are a few more questions I want to touch base with you on. The first one is, what is the thing you would say you enjoy most about your job?
Oh, so for me personally, it's the variety of stuff that I get to do. So no 2 days ends up looking the same. So as I mentioned, we have so many different business units. We have a tech, business unit. We have festivals and concerts that we host. We have sports, and we have a whole, gaming coming soon. So it's just like I get to work on so many different things, which is really exciting to me. Right. So just in the last week, I got to work on our fantasy sports site, developing that and growing that, and, touching on our gaming a little bit more too, and hockey, and then really starting to plan concerts and festivals for our 2022 season, right? Where we hope the world will be in a bit of a better place where we're able to host concerts and festivals too. So for me, it's really exciting to work somewhere where I'm never really, really bored, right? So that's really, really, really important. So that would be a piece of advice that I have for people as well, is find something that you're passionate about, because it doesn't really feel like work when you're getting to do stuff that you consider fun as well.
Yeah, sorry about that. My cat has decided he wants to be part of the stream. Now he's kind of staying in on our interview. Well, we'll see if he joins me on the desk, but hopefully not. But 100% agree with you. I guess something would be interesting. I know you mentioned you played a lot of, and you still play sports games. Do you have, like, if you had to pick, maybe from like your main sports game? So I know you said you're really into like the NBA games, and like if you're into Madden, NHL as well. Are there any kind of like standout years that of those respective series that kind of stand out to you? Like, for example, for me, I still actually have a copy. I can grab it. I'll let you go first though. But for me, it's Madden 2004. I don't know if you've ever played that or how familiar you are with
I'm pretty sure I own it.
Yeah. So I still have, it's the one with Michael Vick on the cover. That, and I think it was also NBA Live 2004 with Vince Carter on the cover as well. I also have a copy of that. So those were two of my, like, the amount of hours I probably sunk into those games, as I can only imagine.
So my favorite year, that's a really good question.
Or anything that stands out.
This might date me a little bit, but NHL 99 is just in my head now, because growing up, that was such a fun game to play, and looking back now, compared to what they're able to do now as far as graphics go and just how good the gameplay is now, it's laughable that that one is sticking out in my head so much, right? But for some reason, that one has always stuck out as being one of the better ones. For me personally. And maybe it's just because I grew up in an era where some of my favorite players were in that game too, right? So it was always a lot of fun.
I think for I'm trying to remember which one I had. I did have an NHL game on, actually, it was for PC. I want to say it was like maybe 90, like 99, maybe 2000, but it was still at the point of graphics where like it would have the characters that were all basically the same, and then like the faces of the players were kind of like pasted on to where their face, and like, yeah, I still remember like the Leafs were kind of my go-to team, and seeing like players like Ty Domi and stuff, and they're like, you know, they're just these characters, and then their faces are kind of plastered on.
I was a PC gamer for years, even when it comes to sports games, right? Till I finally decided to move away from that for sports in general, right? But I definitely know what you're talking about there.
Yeah, and just to verify, I am not lying. I do have my copies here. Madden 04. I do have NBA Live 04 somewhere in there, but I also have 2005. Very honorable mention. I think these games stood out to me a lot because they had the kind of like the all-star cast. And I would just literally not even play the games. Like, it was kind of like a mini mode you could play. And I would just play like the three-point shootout and the dunk contest just with friends, and we'd play that for hours.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they were such great games, and they're still awesome, right?
Oh yeah, they still, like, even if it's not like the graphics, like I played a little bit. Fortunately, I still kind of have access to a PS2, so I'll put those in every now and then. And then this is honorable shout out as well, just in case you've never played it. Blitz the League. It's not licensed, you know, you're not getting any Madden characters, but like it's a cool little football.
Interesting.
I guess you would call it a sim, but yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Oh, 100%. So our time is running out. I did just want to get one more question while we have you. Ooh, this would be interesting to hear your view on. So what, you kind of mentioned what your job is and like what you've gotten to do within your roles, and even on kind of a daily basis, but maybe if you would touch base on what your job is not, so like any preconceived ideas, because when people hear marketing, like they may think one thing, but like, do you kind of have any examples of like, you know, people, either it be maybe clients or even when you're kind of going potentially, like when you're applying for jobs, and maybe there's like just those examples of disconnect where people thought you kind of were doing, like they had a different idea of what you actually do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. You know, what's a preconceived set? No, so I mean, I think, again, when people assume that a marketing strategy is a one-size-fits-all, you know, type of strategy for every single product launch or every single brand, you know, that isn't the case, right? So, you know, when we're developing a marketing strategy or a digital media strategy or a social strategy or a PR strategy, we're kind of developing something almost from scratch for every single business unit or every single launch that we're going to have. Sure, we may pick elements from other ones, but really you're tailoring this, you know, to a different audience possibly, or to the same audience, and you're learning based on what worked and what didn't work before, right? So that's what I really enjoy about marketing. It's very fluid. You know, there's not going to be two plans that are exactly the same ever. So it's just, you know, something that's continuously growing, and you know, you need to be very adaptable too, because as the world is changing, you have to evolve as well, right? So for example, with more and more people kind of cutting the cord and not watching cable TV anymore, you know, you used to be able to just buy commercial space and film an awesome commercial, and then you could launch a product and you would have millions of people watching that ad. Well, most people don't even watch commercials now.
Yep.
Right? So we'll record something and, you know, we'll fast forward or we'll flip the channel during ads. Right? So you know, marketing's evolved greatly, especially if you want to target a younger audience. You know, and that's where you really need to become more savvy in the digital space and more savvy in on like social media as well, right? So I think that's the biggest thing is that you know, social media is marketing is constantly evolving.
Yeah, 100%. So I did want to take the opportunity to thank you again so much, George, for just taking your time and really sharing your knowledge, because you do, like, you've been in so many places, not only in the gaming industry, but also like the sports industry, and obviously all the activations that you've kind of been a part of with different agencies and organizations. So if anyone in the chat did want to connect with you, how would they be able to find you?
Yeah, so I think the two best ways, so obviously Twitter's one of them. So I think you all see my, you know, handle there. So first name, last name, 9. That's my Twitter handle. So George Fidel 9. The other one would be, you know, which is something that I tell everybody entering this space or just entering the business world is LinkedIn, right? So reach out to me there. Tell me that you watch the show so that I actually know you're not just a random person trying to sell me something, right? Because that happens a lot, right?
Yep.
You know, just let me know, and I would be great, you know, to you know, spend some time and to chat with you, have a virtual coffee, you know, to get to know you a little bit better as well, right? So I think those would probably be the best ways to get in touch.
Yeah, if you are in the chat, definitely take George up on his offer. He does have so much insight, and just him kind of being joining us really does show that. He's mentioned it a few times during our chat, but he wants to be one of those people who helps the next generation, right? Whether it be sports, esports related, marketing related, whatever it may be, I'm assuming he would be more than happy to kind of give his insight as well as help you out. So that is going to be it for this week's show. Again, George, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you everyone in the chat for tuning in. Please feel free and please come back next week as we resume our student spotlight series, where we will be joined by Kem Enright, who is actually one of my peers in the eSport Business Management program and a speedrunner. So if you're interested in learning more about speedrunning or you've never heard about it before, it's definitely going to be a good show. And again, that's going to be live here, twitch.tv/Durham College Esports, next Thursday, April 8th at 6 p.m. Until then, have a great week, stay safe, and game on.